I hope I preach better than I clap today. I had a bad clap day. Anybody have a bad clap day? I kept catching myself on the offbeat again. Man, I'll never get it right till heaven. It'd be worth your trip just to make it to heaven to see if God heals my clapping disability. But amen. All right, we're going to talk today about the topic of making disciples. It ties in with our evangelism thrust that we're wanting to do here at the church. And I think a lot. I mean, I'm a thinker. I like to just sit in silence and sometimes think. And, you know, sometimes I've thought that, have you ever wondered if there's more to life than really what we're doing right now? I mean, I just kind of think about that sometimes. I mean, I'm busy, but yet, you know, I do know that it seems like, you know, there needs to be something more. And, you know, sometimes life can seem meaningless, you know, as well as motionless. And I found out in my life I feel that way when I've lost my focus. My focus of why I'm here and, you know, what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm the type of person that I'm happier when I'm busy. You know, I like to be doing something, especially something that's meaningful. And I think that's why, you know, you and I need to kind of sometimes just kind of re-evaluate the fact that are we busy with the Lord's business. Scripture I want to look at today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. And it's talking about, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner, but join me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to you in these last days, Lord. I thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit to just to be in each of our hearts today. Just Spirit of truth, just bringing revelation knowledge. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words to both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right. I want to look at a couple things, our primary and our secondary calling. Primary and secondary calling. First, I'm going to look at our secondary calling. And what I think about the secondary calling is, to me, that's our unique calling. Did you know you're unique? You know, downright special. You know, if you really want to look at it that way. And not everybody is called to do what you've been called to do. Not everybody can do what you do. That's how special you are to God. God has put unique talents and gifts inside of you. And that as you choose to operate in those gifts, and you start to see, you're going to start to experience God in a deeper way. Because God sees this as being special to him. Now, hopefully you had a good relationship with your earthly father. But if you did not, there's still hope because you have a heavenly father. And that heavenly father, he has put certain gifts and talents inside of you. And he is so proud of you. Now, what we have to do is find out what that unique calling is. I like to think that you're a specialist. You know, God has called you to be a specialist in something, at least one thing. Now, some of you I know are multi-talented. You can do so many different things, and sometimes you can do them all at once, it seems like. But I do believe that God has put inside of us something that makes us special and that we're good at something. And to me, that makes me feel good about myself. Because you should feel good about yourself. And that's not wrong. God, because when you feel good about yourself, then you're more apt to really step into everything that God has for you. Now, when you have a serious health problem, and I hope you haven't, but if you do, a lot of times you bypass the regular doctor, and where do you go? You go to a specialist, right? Somebody that really knows your unique situation. And what I feel, that sometimes the body of Christ is sick. It's sick. And I think we're sick because a lot of specialists haven't stepped up and started to walk in their unique calling. Amen. To be able to accomplish everything for the glory of God. And that's really why we do it. See, the body of Christ in the scriptures explained like a human body. And different parts do different things. And sometimes, you know, certain things are lacking. Some things are really going good, but sometimes things are lacking. And I believe it's up to us that we need to find out exactly what it is that God wants for us to do. And it may be several things. You know, I've always said, and I wasn't the first to say it, but Christianity was never meant to be a spectator sport. I believe we need to rearrange and reorganize our thought processes of how we, the American church, thinks about Christianity and what it means to be in a church and what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because if we start to do it the Bible way, we're going to start to feel the power of God and all the great and mighty things start to happen. But we have to step out and we have to step in to what God has for you. And I believe one of the happiest days, there's many happy days, amen. The happy days of, you know, hopefully when you got saved. Praise God for that day. Well, you yielded your life to Jesus Christ, and I remember my day. I remember that day. He delivered me from Satan's power. I remember the day I got married, amen. Got to remember that, men, right? You know, it was October or something around there, yeah. October 19th, 1985, back in the good old days. I remember that day. But I'll tell you what, I also remember the day that God revealed to me why I'm here on this planet. That's a good day. Because unless we find out that day, I don't think we can ever really walk in true happiness. Because we're always wondering what else is out there. So somehow, when we figure out why God put us here on this planet, and that's not just to suck up air and eat food, right? You know, there's more to life than that. More to life than, you know, making a lot of money. Money's good, as long as we use it right. But God has put us here on this planet for a purpose, and we got to find that out. Now, that's our secondary calling. That's something that you need to figure out. Amen? That's just on you. And we'll help you. But primarily, you have to start to explore that. Now, the primary calling, that's what I want to look at today. This is the calling that each and every Christian has wants to become a follower of Christ. We all have a primary calling, something that all of us should be doing. Now, the secondary calling, not everybody's going to do the same thing. Right? Some people do it different. They got different callings. You know, like worship. I make fun of myself for clapping. It don't really bother me. I think it's kind of funny. But there's some people, man, they can really sing. They can lead worship. They can just get her done. I don't like to have to do that. I'll just be honest with you. I could stand in front of 10,000 people and preach a sermon, but I would not want to go up and sing a song in front of 20. You know what I'm saying? I'll do it if I, you know, I enjoy the anointing because I feel the anointing when I do that. I used to lead worship at Bible school when it was my turn, you know, and there was only about 20 people in the room, but I was offbeat then too, you know, but I didn't care. My eyes were closed. Amen. I kept my eyes closed. I just kept going. But the primary calling for us is to do the basic requirements, and it's very simple. We're called to be a disciple. And that's your job. Beyond anything else, beyond your unique calling, whether you're called into the ministry of helps, you're called to preach, you're called to lead worship, all that stuff's fine and dandy. But your primary calling, and if we don't do that, we're missing out, and that's called to be a disciple. Now, the Bible calls a disciple a disciplined follower. You know, that's somebody that is not just a part-time Christian, but somebody that really wants to learn, and you don't have to be perfect. That's not what, disciples are not perfect. So I just want to erase that from your mind. I'm not talking about perfection here. I'm just talking about a heart attitude, a desire to want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what all that means on how we start to unravel that, because our culture in America has gotten away from that. You know, I'm going to go there. You know, in our culture, sometimes, you know, churches get real big and that's all good. You know, the mega churches have maybe 10,000 people. You know, if you got 10,000 people coming to watch a guy preach, and you got about maybe 50 to 100 working in the church, that's not a very good ratio of people actually utilizing giftings, is it? Now, that's all good. Some people like that, and that's all fine. But I believe God wants us all to be involved in the discipleship process so that we can fulfill the Great Commission. You know, one thing about a disciple, you can tell if you're a disciple, in case you were wondering, you make disciples. Amen. Disciples make disciples. I read something that was kind of interesting, that it talked about Nobel Prize winners, which, you know, I won't get one of those, but that's all good. Over half of the Nobel Prize winners were apprentices of previous Nobel Prize winners. So there was a mentoring process that took place in their life where somebody who was maybe more advanced in that area took somebody under their wing and they trained them so that they would have a better understanding on how the processes and how things work in life and whatever it is they were doing. And I think we can do the same thing, because as a disciple and a disciple maker, number one, we need to be mentored, and we need to mentor somebody else. However that plays out and whatever that you want to do, and we'll probably go into that a little more in the future. Now, the mistake that we have made in our culture, and it's rampant, is that somehow we think that only the pastor makes disciples. And if I've led you to believe that, I apologize, because I have not done my job. I have failed you. If I have given you the impression that I make all the disciples here, that you guys just kind of, you know, go that way, then I've failed you. How it needs to work is the fact that we all, you know, get involved and we start to learn and we start to experience God in a deeper way. My responsibility is to prepare you for ministry. And then as you do ministry, you get involved, and then you take other people also under your wing and do training and let them, you know, you mentor them and they learn from that. And then the body of Christ, you know, will get stronger. And that's really what we're all about. We don't want the body of Christ to revolve around one personality other than Jesus Christ. He's the only one that we cannot get along with. You can, or without. Hopefully get along with him, amen. Woo! I'm going to edit that part out, don't worry. No, I'm kidding. I'll never known for saying everything properly all the time, but that's all good. So, all the parts of the body do something, because it's important to the well-being, you know, of the body of Christ. Same, you know, with the body of Christ, you know, disciples are doers. If you look in the New Testament, when Jesus had his disciples, if you notice, they were always doing something. I mean, they would sit and listen to him from time to time, but then he would empower them to go out. Go preach the gospel. Go lay hands on people. Go cast demons out. Amen? He would tell them to do all these things, and they would go out and they'd do it. And then they learned. They'd come back and report back. Hey, this is what happened. And then he corrected them. One time they were so excited they cast out demons, and they was just maybe getting bragging about it. And it is fun to cast out a demon, I ain't going to lie to you. But Jesus said, hey, it's more important your name's written in the book of life. Don't get all puffed up. You know, it's good to, it's the reason why you cast out a demon is not so you feel good about yourself, it's to help somebody who's been bound up, somebody whose life's messed up. Amen? And when we do that, you know, then God's glorified. And that's how it needs to flow. Now, next, as we look at this, is the idea of training and doing. This is what I want to get to. I heard something the other day, and it was kind of interesting. It talks about the gap problem. You know, there's what they said, well, there's two primary gaps in life that you and I have to deal with. And I think it's true. Number one, the first gap is the ignorance versus the knowledge gap. We've all been there, right? We've all been there. You know, you don't know what you don't know just because you don't know, right? You can't be held accountable for what you don't know, but on the other hand, that's no excuse to stay stupid, right? Praise God. God's given us a Bible in English, and you can read it, and you can find out all the information you need in life. So that's the first gap. Well, the next gap, I think, you know, most of us has probably overcome the first gap to some degree. But this is the gap that you and I got to fight every day. And we fight it in all areas of life. CEOs from major corporations fight this. Everybody fights this. And it's the knowledge versus the doing gap. And that's the one that you and I have to deal with. We all have execution issues. We know what to do, but we just don't go do it. For whatever reason, we don't go out and do what we know to do. How many know that this isn't a new concept today, make disciples? I mean, most of us has probably heard that. It's a common thing. Go make disciples. Yep, God told me to go make disciples. Go make disciples. Well, we don't. We know, but we don't do. And that's what we have to try to fix. And that's where I think we need each other. I'll be honest, sometimes I do better just because you guys are keeping your eye on me. Amen? Amen. I think we all do. That's why Jesus sent them out two by two. By yourself, you may falter and not feel like going harder. It's like if you're going out on a run. If you're running with somebody, and don't run with somebody purposely that you know you can beat all the time. But you know what I mean? You're not going to grow in your endeavors there. But you know, if you're running with somebody that's a little bit better than you, you want to stop. Has anybody went running or jogging? I mean, I'm not talking to the refrigerator. I'm talking a little farther, right? And you're running, and you just want to stop, man. I'm hurting. But the lady running next to you just keeps running, right? You know? And the male ego kicks in. Man, I can't stop. I can't get beat. So you push a little harder. And see, that's what we do for each other. We push each other. And we make ourselves so that we go just a little bit farther. And that's what really discipleship kind of helps us do. I think one of the problems that we have is what I found out in my life, is that we underestimate God's ability in us. And I'm just looking back at my life. I wasn't the type of person that had to get up in front of people to feel good about myself. No. Never desired that in my life. Wasn't even in my wheelhouse of thinking. You know, I was more laid back, lean against the wall and make fun of people. No, I didn't do that. But, you know, I just like to watch people. I just like to watch people. It's fascinating to me. But, you know, I never dreamed that God would want me to be a public speaker. It was just crazy. So if God would have told me the first day I got saved, well, Brad, you're going to be a pastor. I would have said, whoa. No. But what did I do? Well, I started out being an usher. Because being a pastor was too big. Well, I ushered for a while. Then I got involved and I started teaching three-year-olds. I was that much smarter than they were. Not much. I hadn't been saved very long. And I knew the English language better than them, to some degree. And I taught them. Well, then I went from that, I started teaching adult class. Then I went from that and I started going out on the streets evangelizing. Then I went from that, I started to go on mission trips. Then I went from that, then I started to be an evangelist and traveled around and preached. Well, then I went from that, and I became a pastor. So the first day on the job, I didn't start out here. I started out somewhere else. And I allowed people to speak into my life. And I paid attention. And I tried to learn things so that I would be a better asset to the kingdom of God. And I think it's like that for everybody. Do you guys remember your first day at a new job? You know, I still remember when I started out being an electrician. I'd had 9 months of training, so I was up ahead of some, but not much. And you're on them jobs, and sometimes the guys mess with you a little bit. And, you know, we would have stuff in trailers, you know, semi-trailers, and they would fill them up with your electrical parts, and, you know, and that's how they stored them. And, you know, the journeyman would send you off to go get something. You know, and being an electrician, there's hundreds of parts to do a job. Like if I just would go do a job myself, I may have a whole list, a yellow pad just totally full of different pieces that I need to fill, just do that one job. So we had trailers, and so I was, 19 years old or so, and the journeyman would say, hey, I need this. So you go in this big semi and shelves of stuff, and they're all in brown boxes. Everything looks the same. You're in there and you just feel the pressure that, I know they probably wouldn't have fired me. And some of the stuff they sent me after, they just made it up just to see how long I would look. I know that. They did that. Just, they were mean, some of them. They had a good laugh about it. But they weren't paying me enough that it really cost the company a lot, just getting rid of me for an hour or so. But, but that feeling of what it's like to do that. Now, if you was starting a job, let's say you was at a car manufacturer and they were training you, and you went there the first day and you asked them, what am I going to do? And they told me, well, I want you to go over there and build that car. Oh my gosh. There's a lot of parts in a car. I mean, what would that do? That kind of overwhelm you, right? You'd say, I can't do that. If they told you, I want you to put a taillight on every car that comes by, well, that's doable, right? You can get your head around that. And see, sometimes when we look at problems in life and we look at things that, we feel that God's called us to do, we think the worst case scenario. And that's what I think when we look at the concept of go. Now, I don't know what this does for you. They used to make me cry. The scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I used to just weep because I wanted to do that so bad. I'd been saved and I just wanted to see other people saved. My life was changed, and if God did it for me, He can do it for everybody. And I would just weep. I would just want to do that so bad. And what I think sometimes when we think about that concept is that when we hear somebody say, go into all the world and preach the gospel, usually we think India, Africa, someplace far away, someplace, might be expensive to get to, and when you get there, there's nothing to eat, right? You might get something. And so you think worst case scenario. And I want us to rearrange our thinking today. Instead of saying, don't focus in all the world, I want you to focus on one word, and that is go. That's all you have to know, is go. Go somewhere. Go to your neighbor. Go to your friends. Go to your workplace. And you don't have to tell them the whole Bible. All you have to do them is tell them about somebody you already know. How many can actually tell a story about somebody you know? Maybe you can tell about one of your friends. If you have a friend and, they have certain things and you're meeting somebody new and they say, hey, do you know so-and-so? And, oh, yeah, we go fishing or we go hunting and, we do this and we do that. Got a good sense of humor, really fun to be around. You can tell everything about this person. Why? Because you know them personally. Well, it should be like that with Jesus. We don't have to tell everybody the whole Bible. We just have to tell them about somebody we know. And that's Jesus. What's Jesus done for you? When I could talk to somebody, I say, yeah, I was messed up. But Jesus came into my life, and He changed my life. He made me a new person. Just tell them that. That's all you got to tell them. You have to tell them the whole, recite every scripture that you think you know or you should know. No, you just tell them about somebody you know. Because what I found out, it's very simple, is that if we make it real and we just tell them how much Jesus cares for us, they may get it that Jesus also cares for them. Change lives, right? That's how we need to see it. And God has called us to be a disciple. Disciples make disciples. Disciples, go out and do the things of Jesus, because Christianity was always meant to be a relational religion. You know, in our culture, it's somewhat changed. Because, like I said, we've made church to be more of a spectator sport where we come and hear one personality. And that's all fine in some ways because, you know, there's training and, you know, the anointing that God has put on my life to be able to speak into your life. There is that part. But we can't stop with that part. God wants disciples to make disciples where you're building relationships with those around you and those people in the community, and you're wanting to mentor them and bring them into a deeper relationship with God. And really, that's going to be the vision of our church, that we're kind of remapping and doing some things. But what I really want us to start to focus on is the next step. That's all we have to be concerned about. What is the next step? What's the next step for you in your relationship with God? And then what's the next step that you can maybe help somebody else to take that next step? Maybe you're a step or two ahead of them, so you can help them to take the next step. I want to equate it like a swimming pool. I'm not much of a swimmer, but it's like we start in the baby pool and we work our way up to the deep, right? I mean, we should. The goal should be to get in over your head, right? I mean, in my opinion, I'm looking at it weird. But the goal of getting in the pool is to get in over your head where it's fun. But you're starting at the baby pool. So then you start to wade out and it's your knee deep, and then all of a sudden it comes up higher and higher and higher until it gets up to about here. Then you're on your toes, right? Still breathe a little bit. But the goal is to get in over the head. I don't know what the depth is now, but back when I was a kid, it was a 12-foot. And when you went in the 12-foot, you were somebody. Amen? That was something. When you made it to the 12-foot, that means you were progressing nicely. But, you know, it's a relational thing, and so we want to get everybody going the next step, and, you know, it's personal. You know, Christianity was never meant to be private. It's meant to be with everybody else. It's meant to be relational and something that means something to each of us. So, you know, each book in the New Testament, as we look at it, we see that there were groups of people. And we're a group. And what I noticed from this beautiful gift you guys got, there's a few leaves that need filled in. Amen? I thought that was very, very good that this came today, because it kind of gives us a goal. Our goal should be to fill that in. Not with names made up, right? Just to get it done, move on to the next one. I mean, some of you are probably thinking, yeah, I'll sign this name. No, we need to fill a tree. Amen? Our family tree, amen. Right? All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you so much. The Lord, we know that you have called us into a relationship. It's not about religion. It's not about, you know, joining a club or, you know, just kind of showing up. But Lord, you want a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And we know that's a life-changing thing. And if I want to give you an opportunity today that maybe you've never really experienced that life-changing relationship and you'd like to today, just slip up your hand. I'd like to pray with you. If you'd like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and turn from your sins. I did it. It was the best decision I ever made. And if you feel the Holy Spirit touching you right now, that you know He wants you to respond, just slip up your hand and we'll pray with you. If you can feel the Holy Spirit touching your heart right now. Or maybe to rededicate your life. Amen. Amen. To come back to where God wants you to be. You've went a certain direction and you know you need to come back. Amen. If you've raised your hand, I'd like to pray with you personally. If you'd like to come up here, I'd like to pray with you. Amen. Amen. I know it's a safe place here to stand out. Amen. Amen.